Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Word of God says here in Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed. Let's just stop right there. Lord, we thank you this morning for an opportunity to be fed by thy word. Lord, there's nothing better that will nourish us and cleanse us and help us to grow as Christians as the word of God. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. I'm absolutely nothing here without you this morning. You know my study, my prayer. Lord, this message was meant to be preached this morning. I pray that you would use me, Lord, not refuse me. Help me to be a messenger of the message, Lord, this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Miss Lynn has graciously volunteered to take the little ones downstairs, but glad the teenagers are up here and the young folks, because this message is meant for young and old, lost and saved. Doesn't matter, rich or poor. It's the same thing. You've heard it preached many times. God just laid it upon my heart a couple weeks ago, and it had to do with water and the Word of God and how we get on over here in the story. I'm going to read back through it there a little bit, where he wanted Lazarus to dip his tip of his finger in some water and cool his tongue. I think Brother Chris actually taught Sunday school out of this one day, and I remember just so much in the Word of God, it can never be exhausted. But getting to that water part, if I had to title the message that God gave me this morning, I'll give you a few reasons why. It would be that there's nothing cool about hell. And you can take that and write it down in your Bible on a notepad or something. And the reason I tell you that is I used to think it was a cool place. When I was growing up, a teenager, lost on my way to hell, I thought it was cool. I'm guilty of telling my friends when I'd leave them, Brother Allen, after partying all night and doing things that I know well were wrong. I'll see you in hell. Praise God, I don't have to see that no more. Amen. There was a time in my life that he humbled me down as a broken sinner, realizing where I was going, and now I'm saved by the grace of God. So I can remember that time, Brother Allen, at Old Rugged Cross. Nothing I done, what he done. But this is a story here about two men, and there's a difference in them. And it's, you know, it applies the same as it does today. We're all different, each and every one of us. Some of you live a little better than others. Some of you talk a little different than others, dress a little different than others. It's okay. God created us all different. If we all the same, it'd be a pretty boring world, wouldn't it? Amen. If we all looked like Brother Jimmy, we couldn't stand one another. Amen. You know, amen. I love you, Brother Jimmy. But it's a story. It says here in verse 19, there was a certain rich man. And it's not just speaking of rich folks. Speaking of worldly folks. You got to get that picture in your mind. This is a spiritual book. Each word of God is inspired by God. These were words spoken by our Lord himself. And he's giving an example here. He said, there's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. This man didn't have nothing to worry about. He had no cares. He had no troubles. He had all the money he needed. Anything he wanted was right there for him. He didn't need the Lord, Brother Allen. I was thinking about foolish people this morning, it being April Fool's Day. And Psalms 14 says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's a lot of foolish people this morning that ain't give no thought to the Lord, ain't give no thought about being in the house of God, anything about that. But let's look at what it says here about this rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That's a picture of the world. You look at that, and to give you a point about there's nothing cool in hell, I was on my way home from work Friday evening, and I got nothing against young folks and fancy cars. He was driving one of them Corvettes with the top down, past me on a double yellow line. I almost hit a car. Got behind two more in front of me at the red light and had to stop in the turning lane. And I was sitting behind this young man, evidently a worldly rich man. You know, them new Corvettes ain't cheap. And I could see him plainly in his mirror looking right back at me, and he was cursing the people in front of him because they wouldn't dodge a light where he could go on. He had no worries, no cares. He was going to be himself and live for himself. But you know, sometimes those worldly blessings, as some of those folks call them, they're not what he can take with him. They think they've got it made now. Y'all teenagers, listen to me. They think they've got everything they want. Live the way they want to do, say what they want to do. That I could tell that that worldly man, unnamed rich man. See, that man's not named here. It just says a certain man. A certain rich man, a certain worldly man. A certain man without the Lord. Had everything else he wanted, everything else he needed, every day. And then verse 20 says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You know, out of all the parables in the Bible that Jesus spake unto his disciples, he never named anyone by name but this man. That's something to that. He named him because he knew him. See, God knows exactly where you're at today. He knows exactly what you go through every day. He knows exactly what situation you're in. He knows if you can't pay your rent, if you got doctor bills you can't pay, if you're sick and you don't know if you can get any help from the doctors anymore. He knows if your wife and kids are giving you a hard time. He knows if you're about to lose your job, your company's about to go under. He knows everything about you. You can't hide nothing from the Lord. There's no need to try. And see, God knew this man by name. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, laid at the gate of this rich man, full of sores. Oh, he didn't have nothing. He couldn't walk, evidently, because they took him down there and laid him at the gate. He was full of sores. And he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Well, I'm glad that y'all are desiring to be fed this morning by the Word of God. There's something right here for you this morning. He was desiring to be fed, which fell from the rich man's table. You know, they think they have it all in the world today. As a Jewish people did back then, they thought that they were the only ones that could have the love of God. The Gentiles, us, we're just infidels, you know. We were nothing. They called us Gentile dogs. We deserved nothing. Remember the woman that spake with Jesus? She said, I just desire the crumbs that fall from the table. He blessed her for that. He blessed her for that. We should desire the crumbs today that fall from the tables. Moreover, the rich man didn't care nothing about him. He was cast aside, this man was. He was carried to the gate. But you know, it never says nothing about him complaining. And we're all guilty of that this morning. God, I know, I myself, I'm guilty. We're complaining Christians. We murmur. We grumble. We gripe. And the Lord knows all about it. This man never said nothing. He was cast aside. He was carried. But he was content with exactly where he was at. He was so content that he never asked this rich man for nothing. He just desired to be fed. Desired. It says here, moreover, if that's not bad enough, the dogs came and licked his sores. The dogs took better care of him than the rich man did. That's amazing. It boggles my mind that you read about so many well-off people that have made good in their businesses and stuff, and Some of them do, don't get me wrong. There's many people that have blessed the church, but most of them don't care anything about helping the ones that are needy. They care absolutely nothing about it. And that's wrong. The Scripture says that God gave it to you for a reason, to use it the way it should be used. Now, here's what happened to these two men. Remember, this is a story about two men. They came here in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died. And we're just going to stop, and we're going to jump down to the bottom part of that verse. The rich man also died and was buried. And I don't mean to cast a dim aspect on the message this morning. God wanted it to be preached for a reason. Death is real. Death is real. Death is something that we all face. God is no respecter of person. Death is no respecter of person. It don't matter if you're 8 years old, if you're 80 years old. It don't matter if you're rich. It don't matter if you're poor. It don't matter who you know, how well you look, how much money you got, what job you have, what position you hold in the church, what position you hold in the government. Death is no respecter of person. It happens to us all. The Scripture says in the book of Hebrews that there's been a time appointed once for a man to die. And after this, judgment. There's going to come a time that everybody in here, unless the rapture takes place first, and we all know that as Christians, that we're going to face death. But, there's different ways to face death. And we're going to look at the difference this morning. I'm here because the Lord led me here. It came to pass that the beggar died. This man, he was cast aside all his life. He was carried around. He begged for everything he had. Nobody cared for him. Nobody took care of him here on this earth. The Lord was taking care of him the whole time. I remember last time I got to preach here, and it was a blessing. We preached about that thing about this morning, the man that was laid at the gate beautiful. Y'all remember that? And this just so happens this man was laid at the gate. The other man got healed, and he went right on into church, didn't he? Y'all remember the story? First place he jumped up and leaped up and went into church. This man died at the gate. Look what it says in verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died. It don't say nothing about him having a funeral, does it? It said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Immediately, faithfulness of our Father. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you saved this morning, you ain't got to fear death in no way. The sting is gone. Hallelujah. You're going to be absent from your body, and you're going to be present with the Lord. That's a wonderful thought this morning. In Abraham's bosom. Now look at the second part of the verse. It says, and the rich man also died. Now remember what the rich man had. He had everything he thought, right? He fared sumptuously every day. He didn't care about nobody. Didn't care taking care of nobody. There was a poor beggar laying at his gate every day. Did he ever take him into the house and feed him? Mend his sores? Clean his sores? Help him in any way? No, the Bible gives no mention that at all. He says this rich man also died. The money don't help you. And was buried. Now, I ain't got nothing against being buried. We all, it's going to be nice to be put in a grave, have a graveside service and all those things. But those types of mournings and funerals are what Jesus is trying to give a picture of here. To a Christian, to someone who's saved, when you die, that's the beginning of your spiritual, eternal life immediately. You're not present laying in that casket watching folks walk by you, mourn over you. You're not present out here in the graveyard watching folks come up and put flowers on your grave. Those things are respectful and honored. I understand that. I ain't in there. Amen? I don't want nobody weeping and mourning over my body. I just want them to say, there lays a faithful man that did his best to keep his heart right and serve God. The rich man was buried. He had a funeral. And I believe it's not said here in the Scripture. You can get the picture in your mind. He was rich, well-to-do. Evidently, he fared sumptuously. He lived in a big castle, had a gate out front. He had everything he wanted. He had these big feasts and partied at his house all the time. Everybody parked their Corvettes and Jaguars out front. They did what they wanted to, didn't care nothing about nobody else. And there was a poor beggar man laying out at his front gate. He never lent a hand to help him. Help your neighbors every chance you get. It may not be nothing, but take them a plate of cornbread and beans over to the house when they ain't got nothing to eat. You know, some folks appreciate that, right? It may not be nothing, but let one of the children sing you a song. Glory be to God. You may not never get to hear one of them children sing again. You may walk out these doors, it'd be the last gospel message you ever hear. And we're getting to that. He was buried. I'm sure he had a rich funeral like some of the folks have. A friend of mine passed away not long ago. He went on to be the Lord. He was a saved man. He was a deputy down in Jackson County. And they gave him the full Jackson County police officer funeral with the stagecoach and the motorcycles and all. It was beautiful, you know, but they was praising the man more than the God of the man. You know, it goes a long ways there. These things they have on TV and they show all the stuff, the prince and the queens that pass on, and they glorify the man more than the God of the man. See, it all comes down to what happened to that man. These two men were here, the earthly riches and what we may think are blessings, and not all may be in God's favor. Think about it. Both men died. Death's the same, but the result of their death was two different things. The beggar died and was carried immediately into Abraham's bosom. A place called heaven is what we call it. You know, amen? The Old Testament saints, they looked at it as a paradise, a picture of Abraham here being the father of them. A place that we look at now is heaven, to be with our Lord. The rich man, he died, and verse 23 gives us a perfect picture of where he is. What does it say? And in hell. Hell's real. Just as sure as I'm standing right here this morning, hell is real. Y'all believe in God this morning? You believe in heaven? How can you not believe in a hell? There's many folks like that. They believe in God. They believe in there's a heaven. They don't want to talk about hell. Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. There was a reason for that. He don't want you to go there. Amen? There's only one way to avoid hell this morning. Notice what it says about it. In hell, he's still there. He lift up his eyes. Now you get that in your picture. He died just like the beggar. The beggarly, immediately, the angels grabbed his soul, not his body. His body was probably buried also. The Bible don't give mention of it. There's a reason for that. But his soul was immediately carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now when the rich man died, his soul immediately went somewhere. His body was buried, it said. There's a reason they said his body. His soul was immediately cast into hell. The very next scripture says he died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. He's still there today in hell. Look what it says about hell. A few things I wrote down that may help you this morning. Being in torments. Hell ain't no cool place to be. Torments, they used, what he's referring to here is the torture they used to get people to do what they want to do. They'd capture spies back in them days, or wicked people. The Roman soldiers would torment them. The rack of tortures, and there's more excruciating pain than a man could stand. And that's how they got you to talk until you were just ripped apart by torments and pain. Being in torments, hell is often associated with fire. And we're going to get to that. But any of you ever been burned by curling iron or iron? My wife got a little. That hurts, don't it? It won't nothing make you jump no faster than other than seeing a snake than fire. I'm sure I don't like neither one of them. Fire burn you. It'll hurt you. I don't know nobody that can stand to stick their hand on a stove eye and lay it there and leave it very long. You're going to move it in a hurry. It will torture you. These burn victims, they're in the hospital, they're pitiful. I was reading a story in a martyr newspaper the other day about a young man over in Africa that he heard some gunshots in his village. This is a true story. And he was 25 years of age, and he knew that the mission children there in the church were in there practicing songs for the Sunday school, and he heard gunshots down there. And he went running down there, and they had shot several of the children, the people in the town, the soldiers, the insurgents is what they call them. And he went in, the children were screaming and hollering, and they had put a firebomb in the church. They were going to blow up the church and the children in it. And he went over and he said, "I had no thought of my own life but the children." He grabbed a firebomb and he ran to the window of the church and he threw it out the church, and it blew up just as he threw it out, and it burned him from both arms and his face. Now it's burned him up. And all the children that were left were saved, but he recovered, and he said that he gave some testimony in the reading I was doing there. Said that he kind of gotten away from God, and he heard those gunshots, and he ran to help. And when he got there, the fire consumed him, and he had thoughts of hell and what it would be like without the Lord. And he said over the 6 months that followed that, he laid in the hospital bed. And they couldn't do nothing for him but just keep the wounds clean and peel the skin off that would, you know, a burn victim. Have you ever seen one? And he said the whole time he was thinking, oh, what it would be like to be in hell and be tormented and be burnt like this every day. Every day. It never ends. You're never consumed. It's not your flesh. You can take flesh and burn it and it'll eventually burn away. I'm talking about your soul, something that's eternal that'll burn forever and ever. In hell. I don't want to see any of you go to hell. I don't want to see my worst enemy, Brother Chris, go to hell. I know. That is, he cried. Look, he was in torment. He was in torment. Hell. A place you don't want to be. He said he seeth Lazarus afar off. Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, he knew this man. He's seen him every day that he lived at his house, laying at his gate. You can imagine that. Every morning you get up to go out your driveway to go to work, and there's somebody laying in your yard by your driveway. You kind of get to notice they was there, right? He knew this man. He knew him by name. And he saw him somewhere in Abraham's bosom. He's lifting up his eyes from hell, looking at this man. And he's thinking, oh, where am I at? What have I done? That's old Lazarus. He used to lay out there by my gate every morning begging for food, and I never would feed him. I never would stop to ask him, did he need some help? I never would tend to his wounded heart, his wounded soul, but I'd let my dogs go out there and lick his sores. And he looked and he said, he had a different attitude then. He cried, it says in verse 24. And he cried. See, he realized that he'd been separated. He'd been separated from not only his family, people at his home, all his party friends, you might want to say. They wasn't around no more. He'd been separated from Lazarus. That man he's seen every day and passed by. We as Christians are guilty. I'm guilty of it. I am, honestly. I walk by folks and look at them, and I've said it before here at the church, and I see the sinner. I don't see the sin. I look at, I ain't helping them. And God spoke my heart one time. I was coming home from work, and I saw a man walking. It was about 95 degrees or so, hot, summertime. He was carrying a gas can. I was up there on Limestone Parkway, and I knew it was about a mile the other way to the gas station. And God told me, said, just turn around. And as an older man, I turned around, went back, picked him up. Didn't know him from a man. You know, I ain't saying you ought to pick up hitchhikers every time you see one, but if God tells you to do something, do it. Brother Allen said this morning, sometimes we'll say, no, not me, not no way, but God laid that upon my heart. That man's walking, and it's hot out here, and you're riding in the air conditioner. And I give him a ride up to the station. He got his gas, and I said, I'll give you a ride back to your car. He said, yeah. And he wasn't even getting a truck. He said, let me just ride in the back. He thought he was too good, too dirty. I mean, to ride in front. I just got off work. I was dirty too. I said, get up front. No, I got this gas on me now. I ride in the back. He gets in the back of the truck. We get back down there to his car, and I pull over on the side of the road. He's got a little broken down looking vehicle. And he comes around to my window, my truck, and I let my window down. And he said, before you go, let me pray for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I stopped to help him, Brother Allen. He helped me. He said, let me pray for you. Boy, I needed that day. I was going through some stuff, and I didn't know how to handle it. And I didn't see a sinner. I didn't see a man walking. I seen somebody needed some help. God, let me help him. But this man, look, he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Too late. It's too late. Y'all teenagers, listen to me. It's too late when you're there. There ain't no sign in hell that says exit. There's one on the door right here. A lot of folks have walked out it. You'll walk out it today when the service is over. You remember that sign when you walk through it. When you lift up your eyes in hell and you see that you're separated from your family and your friends. And worst of all, you're separated from your God. You'll cry out unto him. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus. Boy, he didn't want to pay old Lazarus no attention, did he? When he was living. Didn't care nothing about him. Left him laying there at his gate every morning. Walked right by him. Probably took his trash out and rolled his can out there for the garbage man to pick up. Said, that old Lazarus again, you know. We're guilty of it. But now he's got a different attitude. He's separated from God. He can help him. You know, he mentioned nothing to God, but now he's calling to Father Abraham. That's who their Lord was, who in reverence to God here, he's speaking of Father Abraham, the father of all. He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. And ain't it so strange that our families, y'all got some, don't look at me like I'm crazy, won't have nothing to do with you because you go to church. You read your Bible, you pray. But the first time something happens that they need somebody to pray for them, who they call? When they get, I've had it happen 100 times. It ain't because I'm holy. It's because they know that I stay close to God and I trust in the Lord. And look what he did. He didn't care nothing about the Lord, but he says, send Lazarus. I know old Lazarus. Old Lazarus loved the Lord. He didn't have nothing, but he didn't complain about nothing. He was content with where he was at. And now he's in your bosom. Send him down here that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. That separation from God is the worst thing that can happen to you. It can happen to you today, tomorrow, next week. Even if you're a Christian, you can be separated from God. You can distance yourself from the Lord. And sin will do that. Sin is number one on that list. Sin. Number two is self. Yourself will separate. There's a lot of selfish people in this world. Don't care nothing about anybody else. All they want to do is please themselves. They're selfish. That's where the word comes from. Selfishness. And they won't help you. They don't care what you're going through. They won't even pray for you. I thank you, all of you, that pray for me and my family. I'm undeserving of your prayers a lot of times, but thank you. Each time one of you mentions my name in prayer, thank you. Thank you. Tormented. He said, send him to dip your finger in water and cool my tongue. There's nothing cool about hell. There's torment day and night. There's no water in hell. I was talking, I tell y'all another story. I'm just full of them today. This is why the Lord laid this message on my heart, is this story right here. It happened over 2 weeks ago. I was at work. I was over there. Brother Tim, I like this. I took an old 41 Plymouth, cut the front end out of it, put a new front end in it, and they brought one of them new crate 5.7 Hemi motors to put in it. And I was working on doing that. And this little man walks in the shop. I know him well. I've known him for years. His name is Eddie, and he's about this tall. He was born with little short legs about this long. And that's the way he gets around, and he come in, and he just got to talking with me. He does that sometimes, and his favorite subject is the Lord. You know, I get in trouble at work because we get to talking about the Lord, and we don't get no work done. But amen, ain't a better thing to do. But he got to giving me some of his testimony, and I'll share it with you. He knows I told him I might use it sometime. 9 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer, all in his throat, and it brought to my mind Brother Wendell, what he'd went through, and in his chest, his lymph nodes and all. And he was sitting in the doctor's office, and I'm giving you the second part of his testimony first, because he told me how he used to be, and how as a teenager, as I was, and as many of you might be, I pray you're not, or have been, glory be to God, you're not anymore. He said, when I was a teenager, he said, I'd rip up in the road in them old cars and outrun the police and do what I wanted to do. And he said, I'd get home, I'd lay there in my bed, and I'd get to thinking about it. His daddy was a preacher, a man of God. He said, I'd get to laying there in bed at night, and he said, I'd get up, I'd go in there in the kitchen, and I'd get me one more drink of water before I went to bed, because I know there wasn't no water in hell. He said, I'd get the thing about it getting bothered me. He said, I'd get up and I'd get me another drink. He said, finally, I'd get so much water in me. He said, I'd have to go to the bathroom. He said, I'd get up and get me another drink. He said, sin just eat him up. Yeah. See, he was thinking about the torture and torment of hell. He'd heard it preached many times, but it never was real to him. And he lived that life for a long time. Eddie's right at 70 years old, 68 years old now, I believe. 9 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. And they'd done all the tests, the CAT scans, all that mess. Y'all know all about it more than I do. He was sitting in a little room with his doctor, he said, in them little bitty square block offices. You know how small they got the doctor's offices now, where they can get so many of them in there, get more patients and more of your money. And said the doctor looked at him and said, Mr. Grizzle said, we can't do nothing for you. Said, there's absolutely nothing we can do. And he looked at me and he said, I looked at the doctor and said, I just sat there a minute. And said, doctor, says, that can't be true. And said, the doctor said, well, Mr. Grizzle, you've seen the test. You know of what we found. Mr. Grizzle looked at him and said, you don't know my Jesus. See, he'd been saved. And he knew that his time wouldn't end. If anything was going, it wasn't going to be up to the doctor for him. It was going to be up to the Lord. So the doctor had already set him up some chemo and radiation for the very next week to start. He said, I don't want to do it. He said, I'm going to go home and pray about it. So he went home and he prayed about it. Well, his brothers and sisters and all of them talked him on in, as many family members do, of going on and do the treatments. And he did. And he said the whole time he got where he couldn't even eat. His throat got so sore, most of it was in his throat, and it was shocked. Brother Wendell knows exactly what I'm talking about. They put a feeding tube in him. It was hard on him. He got through all that, and they started doing the tests, pulled the feeding tube out. He said, he told me, he said, I got to the point that all I could do was to swallow them insurers about one a day. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he said, I'd get on my hands and knees every day, and he'd say, Lord.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, you're going to have to feed me because I can't eat.
Yeah.
You keep me strong, keep me fed. Well, make the long story short, his testimony is he went back to the doctor for the test results when they finished the treatments. I think it's like a 30-day process he went through there. 6 to 8 more weeks of therapy. He goes in the same doctor, the one that said, the doctor looked at him and said, Mr. Grizzle, said, you believe that stuff? And he looked at the doctor and said, I don't know no better. I trust in the Lord. I don't know no better. It's a good thing to not know no better. If you don't know nothing this morning, know you can trust in the Lord. He said, Mr. Grizzle said, we can't find no cancer. He said, and we don't understand it, but they ain't even no scar tissue in there from where they did the treatments. That was 9 years ago. He preaches the gospel, man. And you know, we get so caught up in that, and we think, and it just reminded me that it all started because Mr. Grizzle was afraid there wouldn't be no water in hell. And he gave his life to the Lord. Let's go on with the story. And we won't wrap it up here. I want to get you out of here early today. I promise you that. Touch the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's things in hell that we don't want. There's separation. He had a different tune. He cried out in sincerity then, Father Abraham, help me. In hell, there's torment day and night. There's no water. There's nothing cool about hell. But Abraham said, now this is part I want all of you to think about this morning. Most of you in here has got a profession of faith. You're saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But look at verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember. Just think about that now for a minute. Son, remember. Brother Allen preached to us this morning. You did more preaching than you did teaching, Brother Allen. That was good.
Amen.
Son, remember. Can you remember the day that you got saved? If you can't remember it, if it's not etched in your mind and in your heart, you need to be saved. I'm telling you this morning, God is no respecter of person. Death is no respecter of person. I don't want not one of you in here to walk out that door, go through that exit sign, think you can get out of hell by something you've done or somebody else can do for you. It don't work like that. Jesus Christ, Brother Allen covered it perfect this morning, has paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. He said, Abraham, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things. You had everything you wanted all your life. No telling how many times he heard the gospel message. We rejected it each time. Lazarus, likewise, evil things. But now he is comforted. Lazarus is comforted because he trusted in the Lord. And thou art tormented. Thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us, in other words, God speaking, between me and you folks that's already in hell, it says there is a great gulf fixed. It's set. It's done. Fixed. That word means to be steadfastly set. It's the same word that's used in the book of Revelation. It says there is a throne set in heaven. As sure as God is sitting on the throne, there's a hell, there's a great gulf fixed. You can't get to it. You can't get through it. It says, so that they which could not pass hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come. Even if they wanted to come, they couldn't come because it's fixed. Then he said, I pray thee therefore that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Think about these words here this morning if you got friends and family that's lost. This man's in hell and he's begging Abraham to send Lazarus to my brothers to testify to them, lest they should also come into place of this torment. Lord, I don't want nobody to go to hell where I'm at. That's what he's saying. Send Lazarus over there. Abraham, look, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear. You've got Moses and the prophets right here this morning. This is your word of God. That's what he's referring to, the law. He said, I'm not going over to your brother's house and preach to him. I ain't going to send Lazarus over. Our Lazarus is in heaven. If he wanted to come back, he wouldn't. Hallelujah. I got folks in heaven I want to see someday. But if they wanted to come back, they wouldn't come back. Would you leave the Lord to come back down here? Think about that for a minute. Oh, no way out. No way. He's got to send him. They said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Even though there's a fixed gulf and no way out, today you have a perfect opportunity. There's no fixed gulf between you and God right at this minute. There's nothing keeping you back from getting from right where you're at in a sinful condition to the grace of God. Absolutely nothing. He's standing there with his outstretched arms. Brother Allen illustrated it. A state of your sinful nature to get to him is all you got to do is come to Jesus today. Miss Sarah, is she here? Come to the piano. You don't have to be this way. You don't have to be this way today. There's one way out. The truth, the life, and the resurrection. That's mentioned here so many times. But remember, hell is real. But you know, it's not going to be like that for the Christians. The most awful and devastating, agonizing punishment for human that can be described is being in hell. Absolutely. I can think of nothing worse than you to tell somebody than to go to hell. That's sad. I've said it before. I have. I'm guilty. God knows my heart. I've told people that before. I've repented of it. He knows my heart. Don't say that. Don't say that. It's outer darkness in the book of Matthew. Jesus describes it in the book of Matthew as weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds wicked, don't it? It is. It's for the wicked. It's Satan's home. It's his dwelling place. A lot of times we think that the nature of our punishment should fit the nature of our sin. I agree with that to a certain extent. I believe, as our pastor, me and him discussed it, there's different levels of hell. It is according to the nature of your punishment. If you're a sinner and you've never accepted Christ, you're going to hell, period. There's no two ways about it. But you don't have to do that today. No one wants to suffer the punishment of hell. This man, this rich man, certain rich man, he didn't realize it till it was too late. Don't let it be too late for you. Don't fare sumptuously every day and lift up your eyes in torments and realize you're separated from God, you're separated from your family, your friends, and you're tormented day and night. There's a way out. His name is Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. And He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.